Romeo, and I'm calling the Tri-City Tipsnet. Tri-City Tipsnet, I'm calling you. Good evening, welcome to the Tri-City Amateur Radio Club Tipsnet. This is, again, Kilo Charlie 1 Tango Whiskey Romeo. My name is Tim, and I'm located at Eastern Point Beach in the city of Groton. I will be your net control station for this evening. Membership in the Tri-City Amateur Radio Club is not necessary for participation. All licensed radio amateurs are welcome to check into the net, and those that do not wish to check in are certainly welcome to listen. This net operates on the 147.060 MHz repeater with a peal tone of 156.7 Hz. If needed, the secondary is the 146.97 repeater, also with a peal tone of 156.7 Hz. The net is held each Wednesday evening starting at 7 p.m. local time with various net controllers on a rotating basis. This net is intended to provide an informal operating environment for new operators as well as for experienced amateurs. The purpose of the net is to provide a venue for presenting questions, obtaining answers, and advice related to amateur radio. Also to promote good fellowship among amateur radio operators and to encourage the good use of operating procedures. For good operating procedures, please let me reset the repeater. Hold on. The TIPSNet is a directed open net, and that means we call for a round of check-ins, and when we have everyone checked in, we'll go down through the list for comments and questions. During the check-in, please state if you have questions for the net. We'll ask for your questions after everyone has checked in. There are three sections to the TIPSNet. First, the open net with rounds of questions and comments. The second is a section for announcements about upcoming events and items of interest. And third, there's an opportunity for those that wish to swap, sell, or are looking for amateur radio-related items. Unless otherwise directed, all communication should be directed to net control station. When checking into the net, please say, "This is..." Release the mic button like I just did and listen to ensure no one else is calling at the same time you called. Then slowly give your call sign phonetically along with your name and location and if you have a comment or question. This is Tim. My call sign is Kilo Charlie 1 Tango Whiskey Romeo, your net control station for this evening, and we'll start taking check-ins now. Please come with your call sign slowly.
Good evening, Nat. Here is Kilo Alpha 6, Papa Delta Golf, Kevin in Norwich. No questions yet.
This is Kilo 1, Delta Charlie Tango, Dave in Preston. No questions yet.
Net recognizes Kevin, K6PDG, and Dave, K1DCT. Further check-ins, please call now.
This is
Steve, NK1V. Further stations, please call now.
This is KC1, KLZ, KLZ, Kilo Charlie 1, Kilo Lima Zulu. John in East Lyme, no questions.
Recognizes Don, KC1KLZ. Further check-ins, please call now. Okay, very good. It is Wednesday. It is the 27th of March, and I have to say that it is a very nice sunset down here at Eastern Point Beach, although last night's was even more beautiful with streaks of red and what have you through it. For myself, it's been kind of a slow week this week, getting a lot of things done around the house, and borrowed the antenna analyzer from the Tri-City Amateur Radio Club because I had a problem with one of my antennas and found out that it was the cable, and I'm presuming that something inside the pre-made connector, some of the wiring or something must have started to get frayed or something, so that's what caused that. So I think we'll go through for a round of comments and see what people are up to today or this weekend, and we'll start with Kevin, K6PDG. How are you, sir?
Pretty well, Tim, and good evening, of course, to the net. K6PDG in Norwich. I've had a busy week, but I'm hoping the next couple of days will be kind of quiet. Sorry to hear about your coax problem. Makes me think sometimes radio clubs or at ham fests or I suppose even auctions. But clubs will do little clinics, you know, an antenna clinic, an HT clinic. You know, if they have equipment at hand and test equipment that helps analyze stuff and track down problems. I wonder if any clubs have ever done a coax clinic. Imagine somewhere they have. Yeah, to help people track down and identify and locate problems in their coax. Anyway, like I said, I don't have any questions, just thinking of ideas. I was sitting here thinking about 2-meter propagation. Let me reset. And the Aurora Borealis that wasn't the other night, a few nights ago. And, of course, a lot of times Aurora effect will be noticeable on 6 meters, but sometimes on 2 meters, and then I think, of course, we're getting into spring, hopefully, knock on wood, and summer, and you have a lot of tropospheric ducting that can happen during those times of the year. Can happen any time of year. So I don't have a question, but maybe that sort of thinking will inspire a question from somebody who wants to learn more about 2-meter propagation, for example, or any band. And then I'm thinking we had a fox hunt on Sunday, and maybe some of the fox hunters learned some things that they want to learn and have questions. Other than that, just going to enjoy the net, KA6PDG. Thanks.
Well, thank you, Kevin. And before I forget, I meant to mention this in the first round. I did see an eCara email from Ed, who is K1MUJ. Anyhow, he was saying that 10 meters was open in South America right now. He talked to Uruguay, Brazil, and Aruba. So I thought that was quite interesting. And yes, fox hunt did go interestingly, and I learned that I always thought of fox hunting as being like golf, and that you have the long game where you're trying to get the close to the fox, and you have your short game where you change your tools out a little bit in order to find the fox itself, and learned a valuable lesson that if the fox is putting out too much power, you might have to have better tools, certainly better tools than I had this past weekend. We'll see what Dave has to say about that or other matters, or maybe something has come to his mind. K1DCT, KC1TWR.
Very good. Good evening to all those on the net. This is K1DCT. Yes, I was at the fox hunt. I was not successful. I got really close working off signal strength, but I did learn a valuable lesson. You need to spend more than 2 minutes checking out your equipment that has been sitting in the corner of a radio cave for 20 years. close, but once I got that close, I couldn't get a good bearing. Because I was probably just picking it up on random pieces of coax in between antennas and attenuators and that stuff. So I found that several of my connectors, a lot of tarnish on them, and were not acting as they should, as I checked them out with my antenna analyzer and a dummy load. So I've got those all cleaned up now with a wire brush, and everything seems to be pretty good. So, and I also found a couple of tools, as Tim called them, further stuff back in the corner of the radio cave. So I've dug those out and spent a little time checking those out too, sufficiently this time, at least I hope. So, better luck next time, as they say. A1 DCT, back to net.
Well, thank you, Dave. Good comments. Yeah, especially about the equipment, which when you were talking about it, brought it to mind about the people's go boxes. And a lot of people have go boxes that are put to one side and ready to be grabbed to go out. And it's always a good idea once in a while to bring it out, set it up, make sure everything is working, connected, and you haven't robbed a cable or a connector from the box that you forgot to put back. That would then bite you, as it were, at some point in the future when you really need the go box. So that would be true. And some of the tools or equipment that I realized that I needed better was a better compass. I was using a cell phone, was not working at all well for me. So I'm looking out and going to find myself a decent compass and what have you, and to print out a better map as well. Okay, so fox hunting is good, and I think we're going to shoot for another fox hunt probably middle of April, maybe a week before the Easter weekend or something of that nature. And then there's the international fox hunt on May 5th and 6th. So we're going to see if we can't promote that a little bit. So on to Steve. Have you ever thought about doing any fox hunting? NK1V, KC1TWR.
NK1V, good evening, everyone in the group. Yeah, I think it was 2 years ago, I did the fox hunt with you guys, and I had a great time. It was my first one, and Chuck had given me a hand. You know, I did some, like, kind of tag along with him, and got all kinds of pointers, and everybody was great. And I was somewhat prepared for this round, but some scheduling issues, had multiple events going on that Saturday, and in my haste, I didn't, I should have just loaded my stuff anyways, because come to find out that by the afternoon, not shortly after lunch, although I was a bit away from the New London County, I had some time open up and didn't have time to go home back to Coventry, get my stuff, and then head out. And that would have been, didn't want to start in too late. But I have to remember next time, even if I have other activities, to load the trunk up, because I actually did a lot of preparing after the last one, because I learned so much, and attenuators and all kinds of stuff, and I have not had a chance to try it all yet. So that's all I got for this round. NK1B.
Well, thank you very much, Steve. And the fox hunt actually didn't end until after 2 hours. We started at 1, didn't get done until after 3. So sorry you couldn't join us, and hopefully next time things will work out for you. Okay, we'll move on down to Don, KC1KLZ. And have you ever thought about doing a fox hunt? And Steve mentioned it's always good to ride shotgun with somebody who's doing a fox hunt. And I should have mentioned earlier that two people in the car doing a fox hunt can sometimes make things not only more fun, but a lot faster. And while one person's looking at the map and figuring things out, the other person's driving. So it can improve efficiencies as well. So Don, have you ever thought about fox hunting? KC1KLZ, this is KC1TWR.
This is KC1KLZ.
Yeah, I thought about it. It sounds like fun, but there's always the time factor. Working Saturdays and stuff just sucks the life out of me. Sundays, I just got to mow the lawn. This is KC1KLZ. That's about it.
Okay, thank you, Don. And yeah, I've worked various shifts where I conflicted with social events that I would have loved to go to and so forth, especially when I was working second shift and my kids were young. But on the weekends, it doesn't help when you're working one day and then trying to get everything else done on the second. But it is what it is, and I'm glad you're able to at least get on the nets occasionally and chit-chat and so forth, so welcome aboard. Okay, we'll go ahead and go to another call-out. This is the Tri-City Amateur Radio Club, and we are running the tips net. Any stations that would like to join in, please call now.
Here is Whiskey 1, Foxtrot, Juliet, Whiskey, Chuck, and Groton.
That recognizes Chuck, W1FJW. Further check-ins, please call now. Okay, Chuck, well, we were at the bottom of the list, so I'll give you the opportunity to make any comments. I don't know if you've been listening. We've been talking about such things as the fox hunt and how it went, what we learned from it, and also talking about, well, various other things, but I don't know how long you've been listening, but here's your opportunity, W1FGW, KC1TWR.
I just returned about 3 minutes ago. Fox hunting, yeah, it's nice to have somebody with you because you have between your antenna, your receiver, and your compass and maps and all. You got a lot of things to handle, and I think it works better when you have a team of two in the car. But something we'll have to try out, maybe next fox hunt. W1FJW, back to net.
Okay, yep, that's certainly true. Okay, we're going to go back up to the top of the net. And Kevin, something you said that got me thinking about it. And you were talking about that some clubs have had, what was it called now? Antenna or HT clinics, various clinics for people to gather together with various equipment and help each other out. And that sounds like a good thing, and I haven't heard of one happening locally or what have you, so maybe that's something I'll talk to the other club presidents and see if that's something we can put together for a social event. Try and make it at a time fairly convenient for all and see what we can do. I like that idea. But anyhow, we'll come back to you right now and see what comments you have. KA6BDG, KC1TWR.
Yeah, I kind of think they're neat, and I guess I don't think I've really been to one, although a few years ago when Raishan built those Yagi antennas during a club meeting, I'd call that a clinic. It was sort of a building clinic, and most of these clinics are analysis and troubleshooting, but yeah, could be fun, or it could be, I suppose, in conjunction with something that's already happening, like an auction, or a ham fest or whatever. Anyway, I'm glad that struck a chord. I was making a few notes during the conversation about fox hunting, and also thinking doing a fox hunt on foot can be kind of fun. You find a park where maybe the terrain isn't too rough, for the folks who might have some mobility challenges, they can still participate, even if they're not mountain climbers. And everybody's out on foot with their HTs or whatever, and maybe the Fox Hunt only lasts an hour. But just a thought, and sort of similar to that, let me reset. I think you had made the comment, Tim, that you learned that when you get close to the Fox and the signal's more powerful, you need better equipment. And I wrote a note here saying you might actually need poorer equipment. In other words, you need to attenuate the signal more. So I was thinking about how you can actually, like a just an old-fashioned handheld police scanner, for example. Usually their sensitivity isn't as good as a handheld amateur radio. Taking the antenna off it, deliberately using a poorer antenna. Maybe you've got a little rubber duck antenna that the dog has chewed on, and it's not something you want to use for transmitting, but it could be used as a very poor 2-meter receive antenna. So I was thinking about those kind of things. Also taking mention of compass and taking directional readings and using a compass and monitoring a signal like that of the Fox. Remembering to try and do that at some distance away from your vehicle. Although I guess cars now are made more of plastic than metal, but there's always the potential that the metal parts of your vehicle could interfere with your compass, I suppose, certainly interfere with the signal you're receiving, and maybe even bounce signals off your vehicle to where you'd get a bad direction reading. So that was a thought about that. And my question is going to be, I did not know there was an international fox hunt, and I'd like to learn more. Is that where somebody sets up a fox in Brazil or Argentina or South Korea or France or something, and the world beats a path to their door, or where communities of amateurs are encouraged to do fox hunts locally around the world? I'd love to hear more about that. I did not know such a thing existed. KA6PDG, back to Nat.
As far as the International Fox Hunt Day, I'll have to find out more about it. Chuck, NA1CN was the one that was mentioning it a couple of times, and I need to find the correct web page and whatnot to find out more. As far as I know, it's for locally. He's talking about maybe organizing something locally down in southeastern Connecticut, but maybe also involving the eCara Club. And one of the things he was talking about was maybe having a back-to-back or a daisy chain fox hunt, where you hunt for the first fox, and when you find the first fox, he'll give you the secret frequency for the second fox hunt. And if you can solve both of those and be first or what have you, maybe we'll have some kind of a plaque or some kind of a little award or something that can be given, maybe something that can be handed year to year to the next winner, something like the Super Bowl trophy or what have you. So anyhow, something along those lines. I do like the idea of the on-foot fox hunt, especially for some of these newer hams. We had three new technicians who passed their exam on Saturday, and to my knowledge, all three of them are definitely a year or two away from driving. So for someone like that, rather than relying on parents and what have you, to go on a field and do the fox hunt yourself might be interesting. Let me reset the repeater. DCT. This is KC1TWR.
Oh, very good. K1DCT. Yeah, what Kevin said, lesser equipment. Yeah, you do definitely need some sort of attenuation. In fact, in my rummaging around here, I did find a couple of additional inline BNC type attenuators, so I added those to the mix the next time. And as far as two people, yes. Like I said, this equipment I had has been in the corner for 20 years. 20 years ago, you know, days of old. I used to have a fox hunt almost every month. Back then I had a friend, since has disappeared, but we would team up, and I have several antennas now that I've dug them all out. So, you know, between the two of us, various antennas, you know, plotting on the map and looking for the public places and that kind of stuff while the other one's driving, it did work out very well. And let's see, what else? Oh yes, when you're trying to use your compass and you have a map and you spread it out on the hood of your car, don't put the compass down on the hood of your car and expect it to remain in the correct orientation. That's about it. K1DCT.
Wise and sage advice about the compass on the hood of the car. I definitely would have been one of the people that would have put it on the car and wondered why things weren't lining up. So I like that. And for those listening, this latest fox hunt, we had one fox who had a friend with him, which was Chuck, NE1CN, had a friend with him and waited for us over 2 hours, so more power to them. And there were four hounds looking for the fox, and three of the hounds were single hounds. They did not have another person in the car. The fourth hound was new to it, had his family in the car, and not sure what technique he was doing, but he was, I would say, officially the first person who actually drove up to the fox. I'll put it that way. So there are opportunities if somebody would like to ride along, and you can not know anything about fox hunting and learn quite a bit. So that would be good. And, okay, with that, we'll move on to Steve and K1V, KC1TWR.
K1V. Kevin, great idea with the on-foot thing. I've been tossing that around, and actually I have noticed, and our Small Hop River Radio Club has been discussing some field day options and stuff like that, and I don't know, I'm not sure if everybody realizes yet, but the last time you registered your car, you paid an extra $10 for 2 years, which gives you admittance to all the state parks without, you know, any parking fee, which is, once you've paid, it's cost effective. You don't really have a choice. So I don't know what's down in New London County really much for parks and stuff, but even like around here, a place like Gay City State Park, which has multiple trails that are very well marked, you know, for hiking and cross-country skiing and such like that. So it's still a relatively maneuverable environment. That would be just be something, a low-power fox hunt kind of thing, in addition to or separate from the standard one. And the ideas of having a two-layer one, too, are very good ideas. But I think it's a great idea, the on-foot thing there, because I think it's also very useful practice for, I'm not sure which organization is involved in that, but I know that some of the stuff we do in Andover there, it's been discussed and stuff. Let me reset. From our, what we have for equipment and stuff, you know, if someone was lost or injured in the woods, and which a lot of people carry things like FRS or GMRS, right? GMRS, the family radios, you know, something like that, which are usable frequencies, the same techniques. You know, not everybody has a, has ham radio license. Obviously, cell phones would be not something we would have access to, but something like that would be a very useful tool for tracking someone who might be stuck somewhere. So yeah, good idea, and it would be definitely very interesting, to, you know, another addition to it. You know, the way you guys are doing it is awesome too, it's great, and My hat's off to Josh. He's a smart cookie. Back to net. NK1B.
Oh, that's very interesting, Steve. I do have a question for you before we move on. That extra $10, that was for registration renewal, I believe is what you said. I want to verify that. And you said it was kind of mandatory, and it automatically gave you free parking at the state parks. Is that all correct?
Yes, that is correct. In Connecticut now, the next time you might register both my vehicles now and have paid the fee, and then I investigated online, it covers parking, as long as you're in that vehicle, covers the parking of that vehicle, you know, with the Connecticut plate. Actually, anybody who has a Connecticut plate, even if you haven't re-registered yet, it applies starting this year. Pretty much all state parks, all days. There are some additions, of course, on holidays, and there does not cover camping, you know, like extra fees for camping and such like that. But so far as, you know, grabbing a picnic basket, Kevin, and a couple radios and a Yagi and going on a fox hunt, you just drive in and park your Connecticut car there and enjoy. You know, it's good. The whole thing of having the on-foot thing is really good for public relations, too, you know, especially in the summertime when there's lots of people milling around asking questions. Back to that NK1B.
Okay, very good, Steve. Thank you. Just for clarification and to make sure everybody understands, that is for state parks, not for the town parks. For instance, I know down here at Eastern Point Beach, it's a actually City of Groton Park, and they do charge for admission, you know, Connecticut plate or not. So, but for the state parks, that's good news. That's definitely good news to know. And on to the next person, Don. Don, just to let you know, I know you're working Saturdays, and the race on auction is on Saturday, April 27th, so I know you're going to be busy. The very next day, April 28th, though, ECARA up in the northeastern part of the state is having their Amateur Radio Club Flea Fest, similar to the auction, except it's more like a ham fest or flea fest, and you can go table to table and breeze in and out pretty quickly, or spend some time and talk to people about the various items you see. So I wanted to pass that information on to you in case you're so inclined. So let's talk about fox hunt and what have you. Any comments on that, Don? KC1KLZ, KC1TWR.
This is KC1KLZ. Yeah, it'd be a good idea for me to take that in. We'll see what the weather's going to do, and hopefully I can make it. KC1KLZ out.
Okay, very good, Don. I wish you success, and I hope that things work out for you. Hopefully it'll be slightly raining that day, so you won't have to mow the grass, and you can go up there. Okay, we'll move on to Chuck W1FJW. Any comments, sir? This is KC1TWR.
No comments, but thank you, W1FJW, back to net.
Okay, very good. And we're at the bottom of the list. Keeps happening, I don't know why. But we'll do another call out. This is KC1TWR with the Tri-City Amateur Radio Club TipsNet. Any stations that would like to check in, please call now. They would be about half that of the general class, And I have not read it myself. I need to do that. But they are looking for comments. And it would probably be a good idea for all of us to take a look and make sure exactly what they're proposing, what the impact is, and does it have any other impacts besides giving them a little bit more into the HF? Does this actually impact any of the other license classes at the same time? So sometimes the appendixes and additions are made that could have a bigger impact. So just a thought. And with that, we'll go back to the top of the list. Kevin, any further thoughts? K6PDG, this is KC1TWR.
Wow, you are a wealth of information tonight. I don't know about that one either. My guess is if there's a NPRM out, if the FCC has issued a notice of proposed rulemaking, then they are probably asking for comments at the commission. It may be that the league is also interested in hearing from hams about it, so it could be both. I'll have to read up on that one as well. My initial reaction is to sound a bit curmudgeonly on the subject, and then, as you were saying, you know, we got to read more, learn more. I'm thinking, yeah, there are a lot of ways it could be done, and really need to find out the details before making any kind of assessment. That's pretty interesting. Back to fox hunting just for a sec. I think the only other comments I have are a little bit on the lighthearted side, but I'll share them anyway. One is, as I was listening to the end of the fox hunt this last weekend, I thought how cool it would be. It would take a little money, but rent a plane for an hour, a little Cessna or something, a little Piper Cherokee, and hunt the fox that way. Of course, that might present its own challenges other than the, you know, other than any FAA challenges. It probably wouldn't be too bad, but the just the radio direction finding aspect of it, although you might even be able to use the plane's RDF equipment. And I wonder if fox hunts where the fox actually brings a picnic basket of treats for the hunters, I wonder if those fox hunts last less time. I wonder if people find the fox quicker. KA6PDG.
Well, thank you, Kevin, for those comments. To address it in reverse order, I know that the Bears' January 1st fox hunt, they sometimes do have either a pot of chili or something for people when they find it. From my experience, I don't think I'd find it any faster. I might be more frustrated not being able to find it, though. It's always a good draw to do that. You're talking about airplanes reminded me. I went up to the Southington Hamfest this past Sunday, and while I was sitting in the parking lot at one point between looking at the Hamfest and waiting for the Aries Connecticut annual statewide meeting to occur, I actually made a contact with a fellow who was in a Cessna plane just east of New York City heading from Tewksbury, Massachusetts down to Florida. That was my first aerial-to-ground, aerial-to-mobile contact, so I was quite thrilled about that. Just to double back about the that tech license, the reason I'm kind of thinking that everybody should kind of take a good look at it is that back in September, let me reset real quick. Okay, back in September, there was an FCC ruling that said basically that the any radios that were outside of the amateur radio band and were not certified in those other frequencies were not to be manufactured or sold or used in the United States by the FCC, as declared by the FCC. So, for instance, the Bofang, like UV5R radio, that can go from 138 up to, I think, 170 on the 2-meter area, would not even be allowed to be used by amateur radio operators, the way that the current ruling is phrased. And I know the ARRL is looking into that and trying to work with the FCC on that. But that was something that they had asked comments on and, you know, put it out there for people to look at before they issued the ruling. And apparently somehow that got past everybody where they didn't really understand the impact of the statements within the ruling. And consequently, now we're in this gray area where technically, even though we are licensed to use the amateur radio bands on a certain frequency, because those radios go outside of those frequencies, they're not allowed to be used by anybody, including amateur radio operators. So I found that quite an interesting dilemma, and hopefully they will get that resolved and figure that out. And with that, we'll turn to Dave, K1DCT. This is KC1TWR.
All right, well, fine business. Yeah, I'm going to have to seek that out and see, read it in more detail. You know, on the surface, it looked good, as far as I thought. You know, give him a few more privileges, let him experience the real ham radio. You know, I know they can get on 10 meters, but despite what you said about Ed, 10 meters has not been opened very often. In fact, I tried to work a couple of 10-meter contests over the winter here, and I didn't hear anybody. I don't have an elaborate antenna system, but not a peep. So 10 meters is not so not such a great privilege, at least at this Death Valley low of the solar cycle. So have to seek that out and read it in a little more detail. That's about it. Fox hunting. Again, 20 years ago, living in the past. I've been told I like to live there, and I'm actually very happy there. But and Kevin probably remembers, there used to be race-on fox hunts, and that was part of the fox's job, was to provide, you know, cookies or some kind of treats for the hunter. But apparently that has gone by the wayside. I don't know whatever happened to the fox hunt box that I built for race on. I built a little controller, donated a little handheld transceiver, stuck it on an ammo box. I think it was used a couple times, and then I have no idea whatever happened to it. Ancient history. Back to net, K1DCT.
Good question, Dave. I will ask around. We're also in the process of gathering more of the race-on equipment together, banners, and the ARRL flag, and all that for the auction coming up in April. So while I'm asking about that, I'll see if I can find out what happened to that fox. That would be good to know. Okay, we'll move on to Steve, NK1V. Any further comments? This is KC1TWR.
NK1V. More further comments on, actually Kevin had mentioned earlier about some VHF stuff, but we'll leave that for another week. That's actually another thing I've been thinking about. I do a lot of thinking about stuff. Use of a Yagi M 2 meters versus, you know, something that would, how much like repeater stuff would I even get if it was horizontal, those kind of questions. But maybe we'll move that on for next week, because that's going to open up a whole other thing. Yeah, it's a good bunch of topics. But that's all I got on pretty much everything except the cookies. I keep hearing cookies. That's always a good motivator. Cookies are a good motivator. Back to net, NK1B.
And right you are, Steve. Cookies is always a good thing. And for those who are gluten-free, there's always the almond horns that I saw in the health food section or the organic section at Big Y. I've actually had some because my wife is gluten-free and she tried some. And I didn't even notice they were gluten-free. They were good. They were like a light pastry-ish kind of a cookie. So those were good. And speaking of such items, we'll go to Don and see if he has any preference on what kind of cookies he'd like to see at the end of a fox hunt. KC1KLZ, KC1TWR.
KC1KLZ, any cookie is a good cookie. I'm not crazy about Girl Scout cookies, but cookies are good. This is KC1KLZ out.
Well, I'm with you, Don. The Girl Scout cookies, if you go back about 30 years ago, I think were pretty decent. And lately, every time I've tried them, it's been subpar comes to mind. But we'll see what happens with that. And moving on down to Chuck. And any thoughts on cookies yourself? W1FJW, KC1TWR.
Girl Scout cookies are still okay with me, but I'm more of a glutton than a connoisseur, so anything that fits in my mouth usually works, and so I'll take about anything. I just hope to get to the fox before they're all gone. That's the main thing. Back to net, W1FJW.
Yeah, right you are, Chuck. Now that would be an incentive, and that could even lead to some cutthroatery. But we shall see. It reminds me of my daughter and her husband. They're very good about food and, you know, portioning things out and not being gluttonous about things except for Oreo cookies. A package of those don't last more than 24 hours in that house. Okay, I'm going to do another quick call out. This is KC1TWR with the Tri-City Amateur Radio Club. Looking for any further check-ins, please call now. Okay, we're at the top of the list, and we're going to go through one more round, but I'm going to combine section two of the TipsNet, which is for announcements and items of interest. And so if you have any items of interest or announcements that you'd like to make, let's do it in this round. And then we'll jump, when we get to the bottom, we'll immediately jump into the third section of the TipsNet. So, Kevin, now that we've been talking about cookies and such, and it's up to you for the first round, the first of this round of comments. KA6PDG, KC1TWR.
Well, I knew I had some comment that I didn't write down, but as far as the cookies, I think it's nice when the fox does that. Of course, the guy who's been doing most of the fox hunts lately, he might be afraid he'd eat all the goodies before anybody got there. As far as Race Hunt's fox box, as far as I know, it still exists. And I have heard announcements made at Race Hunt meetings in the last 2 years, whether made by the president or by anyone, the CN or somebody else, I don't remember, but that unit is available for those who want to borrow it for a weekend or whatever and do a little fox hunt on their own. Maybe Chuck can verify that when it gets to him, or we can check with the other Chuck. But I know I've heard that announced at least one Race Hunt meeting in the last couple of years, and that's a good resource to have. Have to look at that restriction on equipment use that you talked about. I can see why there'd be some concerns, but that does seem like it's a little too restrictive. I think of the guys who are on who are hams and also in the Civil Air Patrol, or maybe in fire or law enforcement, or something of that such, even though those, even though the radio in question might not be type accepted by the FCC for that, for those bands. I haven't noticed them to do a lot of type acceptancy enforcement, at least in this genre. And then it used to be, unless something's changed very recently, if you transmitted a signal pretty much anywhere that was 100 milliwatts or less, and the audio was attenuated down to minus 15 dB or lower, that you actually were legal, wherever you wanted to transmit. Very few people would hear you, but you were allowed to do that. Maybe that's changed. Have to read up on it. K6PDG, and I was going to look at Lynn's announcements. Maybe I'll run in the other. I don't really have time, and I know it's about 8 minutes till the top of the hour, I think. But next week I'll try and look at Lynn's announcements from up north and see what can be put out. K6PDG 73.
Okay, very good, Kevin. Thank you. And yeah, for next week, if you do that, that would be helpful. I don't have any hooks into the people up north, so I'm totally ignorant of what they have up there. Okay, let's move on to Dave, K1DCT. This is KC1TWR.
Oh, very good. Well, I think I downloaded the right thing. We'll look at it in great detail. But as far as using, the Bale Fang, or as I call it, a Bad Fang, I think I'd be willing to take my chances and use it. And, probably never be caught, Just, pretty low on the scale, I think, as far as, unless you're maliciously doing something with it, I think the chances of being approached on the street corner with your Bale Fang hanging on your belt by the FCC are, probably about as good as my chances of winning Powerball tonight. K1DCT.
That's very true, Dave. And but to put things in perspective, part of the ruling was that you're not supposed to manufacture, sale, or use. Well, go on Amazon, and all those radios, the UV5R, Bofang, et cetera, are still for sale. So if it was that big of a deal, the FCC would have already clamped down on Amazon for selling those. So I agree with you that it may not be technically right to use it. We know that as amateur radio operators, we're going to stick within our assigned frequencies, so we're not going to be abusing, the radio and using it outside of that for transmitting purposes. So it's always good to have on hand. Okay, on to Steve, NK1V, KC1TWR.
Yeah, I have no further comments and no announcements. I did see Lynn's email, and I don't know what I did with it, so I can't help Kevin with that. But that's all I got. NK1V.
Okay, thank you, Steve. And to make sure we dot our I's and cross our T's, Don, KC1KLZ. Any announcements, thoughts, or comments on tonight's discussion? This is KC1TWR.
This is KC1KLZ. Nothing to add. Been a lovely night, and I got to get up early, so I'm hanging it up. This is KC1KLZ. Back to you, Ned.
Okay, have a good night, Don, and have fun at work tomorrow if fun can be had. And on to Chuck, W1FJW. This is KC1TWR.
I believe I saw the Fox Box with NA1CN last Saturday, so I believe it to be alive and well. That's it. Great net. W1FJW clear.
Okay. Okay, thank you, Chuck. And I should mention, I was thinking about this when Kevin was talking earlier. I believe I've heard that there are two Fox boxes within the Raison realm. I think Chip, N1MIE has one. I know Chuck has one, but I don't know if they built them themselves or if they're one of them is the one that Dave built. So I will endeavor to find out. And with that, we're at the bottom of the list. I do want to make a couple of quick announcements. Tomorrow night is the Aries Region 4 Leadership Meeting at the Red Cross, New Red Cross headquarters on Route 32 in Uncasville. And all are welcome to stop by. And you can also check out the Red Cross radio desk, where we have various radios set up, and including a Windlink station. And that starts at 7 o'clock. Saturday morning is the breakfast at Uncasville Diner that starts at 8 o'clock. And Sunday night is on the Norwich repeater. At 8 o'clock is the Raison VHF UHF net for all those that would like to join that. And of course, there's the traffic net on the Raison repeater every night at 9 o'clock. Very quickly, any further check-ins or any further announcements, please call now.
www.tricityarc.com.
We thank John W1AN for the use of this repeater. This net will meet again next Wednesday at 7 p.m. on this frequency. I now return the repeater to regular amateur use. This is Kilo Charlie 1 Tango Whiskey Romeo. Good evening and 73.